Morning's reading is from Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God in all of my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now.
Good morning, church. Several years ago on public radio, and back in those days the only thing I listened to was public radio, I was driving along and every morning they would read a letter from a private letter that was hidden away for years and that had somehow come to the forefront, and they would read this letter from an important character in history. It was interesting because you could learn a lot about history and a lot about the character and his family, but you're sort of listening to just one side. You're reading the letter and you're wondering what the folks on the other side are like, and you're trying to put all of that together. Today's lesson will be the first lesson from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Those are very special people to him. You may remember that he will go to Philippi initially because he receives that Macedonian call, come over to Macedonia and help us. And he'll go to Philippi, and it's there that he'll meet Lydia, that lady who will be going there with some of her co-workers. She'll go to the river to worship, and he'll go there. It will be there that he'll convert the jailer while he and Silas are in jail. But they're a very special church. He's now in prison. Really, he's under house arrest. He's in Rome under house arrest. And the folks in Philippi have sent a gift to him. And he's now writing them a letter. And we'll talk more about that letter in a few moments. But I think it's really quite interesting. It's really interesting because one author has suggested that a man named Bingle long, long ago suggested that we could summarize the letter as, I rejoice, you rejoice. It's a lot more than just a letter about rejoicing, though. It's a very special letter. Interestingly enough, the emperors in the first century discovered that it wasn't good to have folks go before the gladiators or throw them to the lions in public, because those folks would go and die with a smile on their face, of all things. And people would say, why is that? And more folks would be converted because they were enjoying, they were finding great joy. Interestingly enough, after Stephen is stoned, Philip will go off to Samaria. And he'll go to Samaria, and folks have, Stephen has been stoned, and persecution is around. But there is great joy in that city. And so that whole idea is of joy is really important. And we'll be seeing that as we work our way through this book. My daughters long ago used to say that unfortunately they thought of joy as that used car salesman look. You know, the guy who's selling the used cars always has this big smile on his face as he tries to sell you that car. It's not the kind of smile that a person has on his face because his dog has died. It's not that kind of thing at all. It is a real demeanor, though, that has something to do with who they really are. And so that's where we'll begin today. Our text begins, Paul and Timothy, a bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice he makes a big deal of in Christ Jesus? It doesn't make any difference where you are, whether you are in Philippi or off in Rome like I am right now, Paul would say. You're going to find the joy because you're in Christ Jesus. Ah, that's what makes the difference. He addresses overseers, elders, and deacons in that church, and he will have that normal greeting that he normally begins all of his letters to, with grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes a big deal of this greeting and from the fact that he appreciates what God has done for him and what Jesus has done for him. The text goes on to the verses that we read a few moments ago. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. He begins by talking about the things that he remembers. And he remembers these folks. they're very special to Him. Unfortunately, when we remember folks, sometimes we remember the negative. They're the folks who I've been hurt so bad, or they're the folks who neglect me, or the church just isn't friendly. But we fail to notice the things that are really important. And here are people that really matter to Him, because He says they have participated in the gospel. That word participation in my text is the word that normally gets translated fellowship. It's their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Their fellowship, sharing together. Later on, He will call them, when we get down a little further, He will call them joint participants, joint sharers together with Him. And it's a word that, interestingly enough, sometimes gets translated fellowship, communion, contribution even, but it's sharing. And you folks have shared with me from the first day until now. This is a very special church. He converts folks there, and a church is established in Philippi, and He will come back there on His third missionary tour to stop there yet again. But they're very special to Him. And they're special because they participated in the gospel from the very beginning till now. Interestingly enough, He will go from there to down to Thessalonica. And while He's there, He has to work to make a living and to pay His bills. And they will send money so He can preach full time. And He'll go from there to Corinth, and they send more money to help Him. They've always been giving Him money to do His work. They're pretty special folks, right? From the very beginning, you've been sharing with me. And I remember you because you've been at my side from the very beginning until now. Again, it's a call for us as Christians, I think, to remember those who've been a blessing to us. There are a lot of folks who are Christians that have been a blessing to us. And you hear folks always saying things like, nobody visited me. I was sick and nobody visited me. Or that church just isn't friendly. Or nobody invites me to their home. You hear that kind of thing? And the real question is, well, did you invite anybody, or did you go visit anybody who's sick? But you see, this is something that's very special. These folks are special. A life of joy for Christians is because Christians work together. It's what we share that makes it so special. And it is that coming to the aid of others. Oneness is in real joy, and there's real joy when there is oneness. And it's that real recurring theme that we're going to meet in this book. I think Paul realizes that the church, he's interestingly enough, got a gift from the folks who are in Philippi while he's off in Rome. And they've sent a gift, and they've sent Epaphroditus to come to his aid. And interestingly enough, they make this couple, 2 or 3 month trip to get to him in Rome. And they'll get there, and he'll get this gift. And then he will, good old Epaphroditus will get sick. And the message gets back to them that he's sick. And the message gets back to Paul that they know that he's sick, and so Paul's now writing this letter. And so Ann Landers would be all over his case. You know, he's a long time giving a thank you letter. It's not just a thank you letter. It's a lot more than that, because he wants them to realize that they are one, and they need to be one. It's a very personal kind of thing. Unfortunately, the church sometimes is seen as folks who are fighting and quarreling, and it's no real wonder that folks won't listen to the message that we have, because they see the wrong behavior on the part of Christians. You see, that's who we are, and that's what it's all about. He's teaching these folks the importance of peace and harmony, and that's what joy is all about. And then he goes on to say, I am confident. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began the work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Now, I love this part. I am persuaded. I am confident. I am confident of this. I have been persuaded that God, what God started, he's going to finish. Now, you need to understand, you didn't start the work in Philippi. It wasn't what you did, it's what God did. And God started this work, and he started it, interestingly enough, with Lydia at that river, where Lydia and those who are with him are baptized. He started this good work, and he's going to complete it. What God has started, he's going to finish. And I think that's important for us to realize. This church wasn't started by brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so who first started the church that's here at that meets at 36th Street. It wasn't started by them. It was started by God. God started it all, and God will finish what he started. He will perfect it, bring it to completion. That's a better translation than perfect. He will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, until Jesus comes back again. He's working in us and among us at this very moment. And I want you folks at Philippi to realize that. God's at work with you and among you, and he is working hard. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of grace with me. It's only right for me to feel this way about you folks, he says, because you're in my heart. I like this language. You're in my heart. By the way, we think of the heart as the place where you feel for somebody, and that's the, you know, when you at Valentine's Day, you always have a picture of a heart. But the heart for Jews and for Romans and for Greeks is not the place that you feel for somebody. You feel for them in your belly. But rather, it is where you make your decision. Your heart is how you make your decision. And so he says, you are in my heart. You're what I really want to be and do. Because while I've been in prison, you've been with me and come to my aid. When I was having to defend myself before the emperor, you were ready to defend me. You were with me in the confirmation of the gospel. And then he says, you are partakers of the grace with me. And that word partakers is that same word we saw earlier, common sharers. You share it with me. We are common sharers of the grace that is in me. And so it's so important for him. He understands that, and he appreciates that love. I have you in my heart. I like that. And he'll continue with that same kind of thing. For God is my witness how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. I really want to be with you folks at Philippi. I really want to be near you. And in fact, later on he's going to say, I'm convinced the Lord's gonna take me out of prison and I'll get to be with you again. But he says, I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this time the word for affection is not the word heart, it is the belly. It's interestingly enough, because the belly is where you feel for somebody. You feel it in your belly. You've heard folks talk about having butterflies for somebody. They got butterflies in their stomach. Well, it's that. He feels it in his belly. He has that affection that Christ has for them, and he has it for them because they are so important to him. And this I pray, that your love may abound. Now notice we've had heart and belly, and now we get the word love. I pray this, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. I want you to really know and understand what this is all about, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus. I want you to be sincere about your faith. And I want you to be blameless. I want you to hang in there until the day of Christ Jesus, until Jesus comes back again, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ in glory and praise of God. He wants them to abound in this faith. And that's his prayer for them. His prayer is, I want you to abound in faith, and love. I want you to abound in love, to have the kind of love that I have for you and that Christ has for you. It's a wonderful text, and it gets us started in this wonderful book. I hope you will enjoy our study. We're going to spend several weeks working our way through this wonderful book of Paul. And it is a book about joy, but it's more than joy. He's concerned that they may be divided and they may be arguing, and there'll be a couple of sisters in the church who are arguing with one another and causing a stir. But he really cares about them. He loves them, and they love him. It's a wonderful book about love and about joy. And I hope we can get some of that same joy that Paul has and that he hopes they have as we study this book together. We're going to sing a song as an invitation song now, and it may be that you have come to appreciate who God is and the love that Jesus has for you, and this morning that you'd like to respond. And if you'd like to respond in faith, to confess him as Lord, to be buried in baptism, we'd be happy to do that with you. Perhaps there are others who need prayers. And again, we'd be happy to pray with you if you need to do that. If you need to come, would you come as we stand and as we sing?